Well, go, baby, go, baby, go, baby, go.
We got a treat for you. It is your Corona edition of Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure, starring Coronavirus and me.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I don't know if any of you follow along on the internet or whatever of our lives, but got coronavirus. I probably had it. Yeah, I definitely had it when we recorded the last episode and didn't know it.
Yeah, you did.
Also, like... How did you not get it?
I might still get it.
What are we waiting on?
It can take 2 to 14 days to show up.
Yeah, okay. So, like, what does that mean? When does it show up for you? When are you out of the woods on getting it from me?
2 weeks from Tuesday.
2 weeks from this coming Tuesday.
Correct.
Wait. What? That doesn't make any sense. So that's 4 weeks.
Yeah, because officially you are supposedly still contagious through day 10.
Yeah, which would be Thursday.
No, which would be Tuesday.
Day 10 is
of
not
symptoms,
Tuesday.
Of symptoms.
I see. Okay.
So then you have to figure if you're still contagious on day 10, I could conceivably get it from you on day 10 and it could take 2 weeks to show up from that day.
Oh my God.
You get what I'm saying?
I do, but also I don't know. Well, let's talk about like how would that, let's say you got it from me. I don't understand then what we would do. Because our nanny will not come here if one of us has the Ronas. And I would have to work.
Yeah.
How would that work?
I would just have to take care of him sick. I was talking to a friend of mine who her husband, and her kid got it.
Yeah.
She said, she's like, I just put him in front of the TV 12 hours a day.
Yeah, well, also, like, well, that works for some kids, but that would not work for Henry because, you know, the second a thing is on that he doesn't care for, he tries to buy something from the Google Play Store.
That's true.
By hitting the whatever button on the remote.
I mean, maybe he would just be, like, in bed with me and we would watch TV together.
Oh, you'd have to watch... the same five things over and over and over again. I think you'd go crazy. I don't think you're going to get it. Let's be honest. I don't think you're going to get it from me.
I don't know.
I know you think you had it and then you tested negative and you were surprised/annoyed that you tested negative.
Wait, what? I thought I had it?
You were sure that you were like, I already have it. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? When we first were dealing with it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm also really confused why you didn't give it to Henry because, like, you kiss him goodnight every night.
Yeah. But I didn't cough
with
on him.
With tongue.
No, gross. Don't be gross.
I'm
That's
kidding.
Gross. You're being gross.
Sorry.
It's not even funny. It's just gross.
Okay. Take it out.
I'm not. I'm just going to stay there. People will see how you're gross.
Oh, we're recording this on Zoom, by the way. Like, we're not in the same room recording this.
Yeah, Dory's in her office. I'm in my office outside of the home. I mean, my office that's in the outside area. Anyway, what am I saying? We're talking about how Henry didn't get it, right?
And I'm
that's the thing I'm trying to figure out, right? This whole, like, what the fuck constitutes a viral load?
So here's like, my theory.
Obviously, Dory's read about it more than I have, because I really haven't.
My theory is that you have a mild case. Like, based on all of your symptoms, you have a mild case.
Right, seemingly, luckily.
And I am qualifying this by saying, I'm not an expert, I'm not a doctor, but this is my anecdotal observation that people with a mild case have less of a viral load. So you're probably not as contagious as someone who has a really bad case, right? So like already you're probably not shedding as much virus as someone who's super, super, super sick.
Right.
So that has to be part of it. I'm also assuming that part of the reason why you got a mild case is because you were masked, like wherever right. you picked it up, like you right. had a mask on. So even though it got through your mask or your eyes or whatever, like it probably helped that you were wearing a mask.
I'm sure. And also, so, you know, I got tested negative on Friday of last week. And then on Monday, I went into work like normal, had the Monday morning test.
We should also clarify, you didn't work the week before. Work had been called off.
Yeah, we were off.
Right. But people kept being like, he must have gotten it at work. And I was like, he didn't get it at work. Like, there's
I
no
didn't
way.
Get it. Here's what I'm okay, well, I'll say the story. You're sort of jumping the punch there.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know how to podcast with you anymore. The rug Rona got me. Where's Kate? Kate! Help.
Andy?
So I tested negative on Friday from our normal testing. Monday, I tested and I got the result. No one gave me the results until Wednesday morning because no one got the results until Wednesday morning. Which, as I always have said, is the fatal flaw of our testing system. I worked Monday and Tuesday with coronavirus. Now, I will say, obviously, because the protocols are so stringent at work and on sets, no one got it from me so far. As Dory says, apparently they could get it in 7 weeks or something.
Look, I'm just telling you what the science says.
Okay. Well, anyway.
The average gestation is 5 days, but it is possible to get it up to 14 days from exposure.
Then why would they let me go back to work on the 22nd? Yeah.
Because that's 14 days after symptoms started, right?
I don't know. I'm trying to walk through the timeline here. Anyway, whatever. Point is, I had a headache on Sunday, nothing out of the ordinary. You know, I don't get headaches too often, but I just thought, oh no, I have a headache. And then I had like some nasal congestion that cleared itself out. Like sometimes, you know, that happens at night and I wake up in the morning and I stand up and then it runs and clears out and then it's done and I never hear from it again until the next night or something.
You did. I remember you saying that you felt like you had pretty bad sinus pressure, though.
From the headache, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought, I didn't know what, I mean, because I had tested on Monday, and I presumed that the test was negative, I assumed I didn't have corona. But Tuesday night, when I got home from work, I was like, oh, this sinus thing is really happening. So I'm going to go to bed really early and see what I can do with the NyQuil and some tea and go to sleep. And then I woke up fairly early in the morning.
Wait, like, you forgot about what happened Tuesday night.
This is what I'm talking about, Tuesday night.
But you already got to when you woke up in the morning. You forgot about Henry.
What happened on Tuesday night? Oh, yeah. I don't know. That didn't really enter into my brain because...
It entered into my brain because Matt got home in time for bedtime, which is rare.
Yeah.
And so we're like doing the bedtime stuff, reading the stories, and all of a sudden Matt is like, Henry looks like he's about to throw up. And he's like, bud, are you about to throw up? And then he's like, bleh! Like everywhere, projectile vomits everywhere. So, you know, we put everything in the washing machine. Matt's cleaning up with carpet cleaner. And I'm like, oh God, it's still like, even once everything was cleaned up, I was like, still smells pretty bad in here. And you were like, I can't smell it.
Yeah, I couldn't smell anything. I was cleaning up his vomit, no problem. He puked a little bit on me. He, you know, because I was holding
him. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh God, this is awful.
when the baby pukes, somehow Henry ends up in my hands. So I am the one who deals with the actual vomiting baby and the cleaning up of the vomit. But at this time around, yeah, I didn't, it was, yeah, Tuesday night was when I noticed I didn't have any smell. Okay, so I thought I had a cold.
Yes.
Then I couldn't smell anything.
Right. And then I
Then I woke up.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No.
Well, no, tell me what else happened to me.
No, go ahead.
Please.
No, go ahead.
Come on.
No. Go ahead.
Had tea, I went to bed early. Then I woke up, and then I was supposed to be at work at 6:30 in the morning for a COVID test. I got up, and I was like, oh, I'm weak. I don't feel like I can move. I'm putting on my, getting dressed, putting on, I'm like, this is not going great. I don't think I should go into work. Dory's like, I don't think you should go into work. It was like 6:30, and I was like, it's already 6:30. I was supposed to have a COVID test at 6:30, so I was like, maybe I should get tested to make sure I don't have coronavirus. I'll go get a test, and then I'll go home. Driving.
You forgot about the notification on your phone.
Oh, I had gotten a notification on my phone at some time in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning or something, that said something to the effect of...
It said,
of,
like, the California Department of Health has been notified of the results of your recent coronavirus test. But it didn't say, like, you were positive or you were negative. It just said
you've
been notified
anything.
Of the results.
Yes, California Department of Health was notified of your recent COVID-19 test. This is Tuesday night at 7:48 p.m.
Oh.
This came in Tuesday night.
Wow. You must have missed it.
I must have missed it because it was 7:48 p.m. and I was probably like almost in bed.
Because you had COVID.
Was just charging. Yeah, apparently. So yeah, I didn't know what was happening. Whatever. I got up in the morning, decided to not work, but drive to go get a COVID test. And then on my way to get the COVID test, my second Alana, she called, second AD, pretty much the person that runs the, you know, what time base camp, everyone needs to get to work and all this stuff. And she called, and I answered the phone, and I said, hey, Alana, do I have COVID? And she's like, yeah, your test was positive. I was like, thought so. Okay, thanks. And then I just drove home because I didn't need a test anymore. I had COVID.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And then I started to, and I told Dory, I was like, guess what? I called her. I said, I had COVID. I got it. Monday's test was positive. Guess I'll come home. Dory's like, wear a mask when you come home. I'm like, yeah, obviously. And then I'm trying to remember. Like, I feel like I put Henry to bed Wednesday night.
You did with in a mask.
I had
masked.
A mask on, and I put Henry to bed with you. And then you moved into the guest room? You moved into his playroom?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember. I don't remember Wednesday and Thursday very much.
You came home and I had like set up a COVID station for you in our bedroom. And I'd grabbed like some of my stuff and like my toiletries and pajamas and stuff and taken them out of our bedroom. And it was just like, okay, you're staying in the bedroom now.
Yeah. I was going to stay out here in my office, but then Dory was like, there's no bathroom. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was also like, there's also no bed.
Yeah, I know. I could have, like, made do, you know, sleeping bag or something.
But, like, you have COVID. Like, I didn't. there's no real heat in there. Like, I was like, this is when you need to be comfortable and not, like, sleeping in a sleeping bag on a tile floor. Don't be ridiculous.
There's a rug in here.
Okay.
Anyway, and then essentially from that point, so Dory got tested. Dory took Henry to get tested at Children's Hospital. This is, I believe, on Wednesday.
Oh, I talked to his pediatrician. We did, like, a telemedicine appointment, and she was like, okay, I'm going to write you, like, a lab order to take Henry to get tested at Children's Hospital, because you can't just, like, show up at Children's to get tested. You either have to be, like, having surgery there, or your doctor has to send you.
Yeah. So Henry then... based on his vomit episode, we were like, oh, this is probably how the baby gets COVID. This is like the baby COVID.
Yeah, his
symptoms.
Pediatrician was like, vomiting is a sign of COVID in children. So we were like, okay, here we go.
But now the reality of it is he just fucking projectile vomited everything in his stomach.
Coincidentally.
You know what's funny is like, I heard the door close. I heard Holly leave. And then I looked at Henry, and then he threw up.
He was
like, it just happened, like, the second she was out the door, he projectile vomited. Poor guy was screaming.
Oh, he was so upset.
But anyway.
He had, like, snot coming out of his nose. I felt so bad for him, little dude.
Dory tested negative. Henry tested negative. Holly tested negative. Then at work, they shut down production because I had gotten it and because I am in Video Village and in contact with all the actors all the time. They were like, they shut it down. Everybody who was close contact with me had to get rapid tested on Wednesday in addition to the regular test. And then they shut down production probably like, 8:30 in the morning. And then... everybody tested on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they test tomorrow morning, obviously. But in all those tests, nobody else is positive.
I think you have a really mild case, and you're still super, like, masked and goggled and everything when you're, like, talking to actors and stuff.
No, I know, but, like, I'm just saying, like, I'm just letting everybody, like, I'm sure people are wondering.
Yeah.
What happened at work?
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
You're not the Typhoid Mary of your show.
I'm not the Sony Typhoid Mary. But I won't be able to go back to work until at the earliest Friday of next week. In the meantime, I just want to say, for the record, Dory's done an amazing job of just taking care of Henry for the entire time, and occasionally taking care of me by dropping Gatorade off at the door. And boy, oh boy, it's a good thing you turned in your book, huh?
That's sarcasm, right?
Didn't you turn it in on the 15th?
No. How the fuck was I supposed to turn it in?
Didn't you tell me you were done?
I said I was done doing the paper edit, but I still have to put in all the changes.
Oh, I didn't even know.
I'm not done. I haven't turned it in.
Dory's book was due the 15th.
I've been like,
I don't know how she's going
to
be able to do anything.
To get stuff done here and there.
Difficult for us because we don't have any family out here. We have no help right now. Dory is essentially taking care of Henry on her own because I can't go near them. So I'm like in the bedroom, napping constantly, napping.
Yeah.
It is a tiring disease, I will say that. And it's not like, it's just fatigue. I just feel so tired. And then I think I take so many naps that, like, bedtime comes, I can't fall asleep till 2 in the morning.
I got you some melatonin to take tonight. Okay. That should help you fall asleep.
But I mean that's pretty much that's the COVID adventure that's happening right now at the house. I've got it. Dory and Henry so far don't. Dory's been taking care of Henry all by herself and also making sure I don't die. And somehow recording episodes of Forever 35. So,
and trying to finish the edits of my book and write a freelance piece.
And yes, she took on a lot of work and
thankfully yeah. I had filed another freelance piece the day before we found out you were positive.
I really just wish that we had a family member nearby. I do someone too. Who could take Henry.
Yep.
I really, really am so, I feel very guilty about not being able to help.
Well, you shouldn't feel guilty.
I do. I feel very guilty. I'm I really wish you, I could help you and help him. I feel like I'm missing big parts too, because he just seems to really have mastered the high-pitched scream in the last couple of days. Like, it really, that I hear in the, his very heavy footsteps. I don't know how such a light baby.
He does thump person, around.
He really, and it's like so fast yeah. too, that I just, all I hear constantly is.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh God, he would be so annoying to live underneath. Like if we had we were in an apartment building or something.
Having lived underneath children his age, I can tell you, it's very annoying.
I have lived underneath children as well. And you just never really think about it until you actually have the child in front of you. And it's just like, I don't know why he needs, he runs everywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to get everything done by running.
Yep.
It's very funny. But yeah, long story short, I think I'm getting over it, hopefully. I'm tired. And we should take a break.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll be right back.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
All right, everyone, we are back. Here's the deal. Matt really only had energy to record that first portion of the podcast. So I'm going to be doing the rest of it myself. So I don't know how this is going to go. It could be great. Like, what if it's actually the best episode of Excellent Adventure that we've ever recorded because it's just me? Wouldn't that be funny? Don't tell Matt. It might make him feel bad. But, I'm going to try to make this as entertaining as I can, but it might not be as long as a quote-unquote real episode of the show, so please cut me some slack. It's just me. My husband has COVID. I'm taking care of a 21-month-old and trying to do like 3 jobs. So I'm a little drained. I really, you know, I feel like I'm usually pretty good about handling stuff, I'm like managing my stress, and I can multitask and take on a lot, but this is testing me, I will say. It came at the worst time. Like literally the worst time. It was one of those things where I had made this plan for myself of how I was going to get all the work done that I had to do. And it was one of those things where like everything had to go perfectly or it wasn't going to work. And like, not only did everything not go perfectly, but everything went to total shit. So not only am I not going to finish both of the things I needed to finish, I'm almost definitely not even going to finish one of them. So I'm like, okay, well, this is life. This is the way it is. If I didn't have the work stuff, it would be stressful but manageable because I can handle taking care of Henry. Like, it's exhausting, yes, but like I can handle it. It's the taking care of Henry on top of still having all my work stuff, on top of worrying about Matt, on top of worrying about whether I'm going to get COVID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is just like, holy shit. I will say people have been very kind. A few people have just like sent us food, which has been amazing. And like everyone says, let me know how I can help. And I'm honestly just like, I don't know. Like that's like too much for me to think about. But when people are like, hey, there's a Postmate coming to your door in an hour with a bunch of food from this place. Just wanted to let you know. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. You're the best person in the world. So now I'm like, note to self, the next time I have a friend going through something tough, I'm not going to ask them how I can help because that just like makes them do more work. I'm just going to be like, hey, there's food coming. Don't worry about it. It's kind of crazy how like you only learn this stuff until you are going through hard shit. That's deep, huh? All right. I'm going to read some emails. Let's see how I respond to them on my own. Again, don't tell Matt if you think that this is like better than a regular episode. And also don't tell me if you think it's really so much worse than a regular episode. Okay. First of all, we had a bunch of people saying, take a break from podcasting if you need to take a break. And I really appreciate that sentiment. The podcast stops for no man. Actually, that's not totally true. There was some time, maybe when I was really sick during my first trimester, where I was like, I can't do the podcast. We have to rerun an episode. Anyway, it's happened, but we really do try to like make it happen for you guys. I don't know. All right. Fallon writes, just saw your Insta stories. I know how scared Matt was of getting COVID, how methodically careful you all were. And I just wanted to say, I'm thinking of you all, how absolutely horseshit this all is. And I hope you recover soon, Matt. Love and health to the whole fam. That is from Fallon in Minnesota. No hot dogs. They are disgusting. Kind of with you on that, Fallon. 1600 square foot apartment with my husband and cat. Love the square footage talk because I work in property management. Well, well, well. All right. Anonymous writes, I saw the news on IG, wishing Matt quick recovery, negative test for everyone else. Listening to the podcast, I know you both take COVID seriously and take precautions. They sound very similar to what we are doing. I work from home. Husband goes out into the field but wears a K95 mask and stays away from people as much as possible. We occasionally will take our two-year-old to an empty furniture store. She will wear a mask the entire time near closing. Or similar on a stir-crazy rainy day. We don't socialize, dine out, go to childcare, etc. Again, similar to your level of precaution, which I would rate as high. So it is surprising that Matt contracted it. You mentioned having your nanny back recently. Do you think that's where he caught it? Sorry if prying. But I think hearing about your experience firsthand is super helpful to listeners for us to reevaluate our own behaviors. Thanks, Anonymous. I don't think he caught it from our nanny. Our nanny has taken 3 negative tests in the last, 2 weeks. And has never had symptoms. So unless she has an undetectable asymptomatic case, it seems extremely unlikely that he got it from her nanny. And I would also Also, he is around our nanny the least. Henry is obviously around the nanny much more, and then I'm around the nanny, Holly. She has a name. More so of all the people to get it in the family, if she had given it to him, like to us, that seems very unlikely to me. I mean, the answer is we don't know. Here's the thing. He had been wearing KN95s all the time on set, and then, you know, anytime he would go to like the grocery store or something. But then two weeks ago, I don't know, I've lost track of time, he got these like fancy cloth masks that he ordered from I don't know where, and he started wearing those. So there was that. He was wearing cloth masks. And then he'd also gone to Guitar Center at some point. I don't remember how long he was there, but I think it was more than like a quick in and out. So my money is on Guitar Center, but I have no proof of that, and there's no way we will ever know. But, you know, we know we had no known exposures. We have not had any like unmasked gatherings. Matt hasn't seen anyone besides work people. I've gone on a few like masked walks with friends. Matt doesn't even do that. So yeah, it is cruelly ironic that he was the one to get it, because he's been so cautious, and he's been the one like making me be more cautious and paranoid. Like, I really wanted to go to like an Airbnb at some point and just like get away for a few days. Pretty much every single person I know in Los Angeles has done that. And Matt said, no, we can't do that. I don't feel safe. And I was like pretty bummed about it. But, you know, I feel like it's a situation where you like defer to the person who in the family who wants to be the safest. So I was like, all right, that's what we're doing. But what's funny is I had said to him, like, I don't know, like a week before he started feeling sick, because he had gone a couple times to like another guitar store. And I was like, you know, I really don't think you should be going to the guitar store. Like, it's small. You know, it just doesn't seem like a good idea. And he was like, okay. And he stopped going. But Guitar Center is so much bigger. I don't know. We're just not going to know. I think the TLDR is like, if you can avoid going to stores at all, including grocery stores, you should not go. If your grocery store offers curbside pickup, do that. Because even like getting grocery delivery, it's like there's still someone going to the store and getting your groceries for you. Curbside, it's someone who is already working there getting the groceries and bringing them out. So like, I don't know. Anonymous, I don't have the answers. It is just everywhere. And you know, we just the only thing we can do is just be super, super mindful. Okay. Gonna read a non-COVID related email. This is from Andrea. Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. My husband and I have been trying for a baby for the last 6 years. He's about to turn 37 and I'm 35. January marks the start of our third year of IVF. Prior to IVF, we did 4 cycles of IUI. During the IUI/IVF process, we've completed an HSG, ERA, Receptiva, and PGS testing, along with all the other standard tests. My husband's sperm is good. I have PCOS and am anovulatory. But aside from that, no known issues have come up from all the testing. I've had 3 retrievals with a total of 8 transfers, none of which had worked. The first 4 transfers were with non-tested embryos, as we didn't have any indicators that we would need to test them prior. The last 4 transfers were with all genetically normal embryos. I had a follow-up call with my doctor, and she wants to move on with another transfer. No changes to the plan that we previously used, as the ERA shows receptive and Receptiva shows normal, no inflammation. And honestly, I just feel like she's given up on us. We only have two embryos left, and we would be transferring both for this last transfer, but I get the feeling she's just done with our case and just wants to do this last transfer to get us out of the clinic. We signed up under one of their warranty programs, 3 retrievals and as many transfers as embryos we get. If I don't get pregnant or have a live birth plus 30 days, we get a large percentage of our money back. Because of this, we aren't able to take our last two embryos anywhere else to get another opinion. My problem is I don't know what else to ask for or changes that I could make that might make this last transfer successful. I've tried all the wives' tales and acupuncture throughout all these transfers, but still no luck. And I feel that if I don't push for more to be done, I'm wasting these embryos and throwing away our last chance at starting a family with a bio baby. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm essentially writing off this transfer before it's even started, while also having a very hard time coming to terms that this could be it for us. My depression is at an all-time high due to infertility, and I'm really struggling. Do you or any of the listeners have any advice for what else to ask for or do in this situation? Appreciate any signal you could put out or advice you can give. Thank you. That is Andrea from Minnesota in a 1,762 square foot house with a husband and a black lab. No hot dog consumption, but probably 6 to 8 brats. All right, Andrea, the first thing I want to say is I'm sorry. You have been through the ringer. This is shitty. I mean, I think a lot of people listening have been through a lot, but you've been through a lot, and I see you. And it sucks. What stood out to me, and there are definitely people listening who can speak to this more than I can. I know you said that there was no inflammation, but I'm wondering if you've ever had a consultation with anyone about any immunology stuff, like autoimmune stuff, because I know there is an immunology protocol for people who have had very similar experiences to yours. And that is something that I would look into. I think you should do some research on this. You should see if you can have a consultation with one of these doctors. Talk to them. Talk to your doctor. I think if your doctor is not receptive to this, even though you have this insurance thing with your clinic, I think you should think about taking your embryos elsewhere to a clinic that will do this immunology protocol, if the doctor that you talk to says you sound like you could be a good candidate for it. That's the only thing that comes to mind for me. But yeah, I'd love to hear from listeners what they think, if they have other ideas, and I hope we can get you some answers. All right, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to have some water. I'll be right back.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, I'm back. I usually do like a, you know, pre-production outline of everything that I'm going to read, that we're going to read in the order that I like, with like similar emails grouped together. Didn't have a chance to do that today. So it's going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge for this last portion of the pod, but I know you'll bear with me. All right. This was a text. Don't know who it's from. They didn't sign it. Matt and Dory. Just pause the pod to text. Y'all, this has nothing to do with infertility. It has everything to do with everything else. This is a hodgepodge. GBBO started in December with the husband on the final Mel and Sue year, and I've been mourning them for 2 seasons already. Saw the first Hollywood handshake in season 2 or very early in season 3. When we are finished, it'll be time for the Canadian one. I mean, 2 seasons with that dreamboat Canadian Dan Levy and cake. What can be bad? Escape to the Chateau. So effing good. This is the reason I stopped the pod. Once you are finished with the Strawbridges, head on over to ETTC DIY. even better than the original in some ways. I was a stage manager till COVID, and my post-COVID plans are to move to France to be a live-in chateau volunteer. Wow. Okay. Season 2 has 45 episodes. Holy shit. Loved What We Do in the Shadows. So on your recommendation, I've started Toasts of London. On episode 3, I'm not sure if I'm enjoying the style yet. Near the beginning of COVID, I found a 30-minute pretzel recipe. We then started using that dough for everything. Most popular, wrap it around a hot dog and grill it on the BBQ, adding whatever time the dough and cheese around the wiener. Let's just say we ate a lot of hot dogs this summer, maybe 24 just for me. Your relationship in so many ways is like mine and my husband. So thanks for having therapy every week and recording it for us. Helps my marriage too. Oh, wait, she did sign it. This is from Beth, with a husband, 2 cats, and an 11.5-year-old golden retriever who seems to be losing his vision. Aw, buddy. In 650 square feet, not counting finished basement in Edmonton, Canada. And then she adds, I miss Phoebe, especially Phoebe Reads. You and Scott sent me in so many great directions. P.S. There have been many days I haven't gone outside. Don't beat yourself up, Dory. Well, thank you. All right. Okay. Let's see what else is in the old mailbag. All right. David writes, hey, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Beau. Pausing the pod to say yes. Please give IT Crowd another chance. It's one of the first things I saw Matt Berry on. He's not in the first few episodes, but the show is so great, I don't mind. There's some classic Matt Berry insanity on that show. What episode are y'all on for Toast? Like one of the other listeners said, Year of the Rabbit is good too. It's a period show and he plays a detective. Ooh, that sounds right up my alley, actually. I'm sure y'all know, but he also does a voice on Disenchantment on Netflix, and that's good too. Okay, just wanted to reinforce the recommendations for Matt Berry shows. There's a lot of great cameos in your future for What We Do in the Shadows. There's a show in New Zealand only called Wellington Paranormal, done by the same people that I'm dying to watch, like a cop show that has paranormal elements. Anyway, longtime listener since the beginning, and back to the beginning of Nerdist. Would love a hostful ID10T episode and crossover listener from Talk Salad, Star Trek Next Conversation, etc. One of the few male listeners with no interest in having kids right now. I did fill out that survey a ways back. Thanks, David, in 3,000 square feet in Texas by himself. David, you have so much room. I'm so jealous. And he has had 1 Costco hot dog so far in 2021. Okay, well, you're off to a strong hot dog start, my friend. Okay. We have some more input on British television from John. Hey, Matt and Dory, just heard Matt's disgruntlement at the difficulty in watching British shows. As far as DVDs go, it's not that difficult. I'm not sure about Apple products, but every Windows laptop I've owned comes with the option to change the DVD region. It's limited, but you can do it up to 3 to 5 times. I'm in the US, but originally from New Zealand, so I have a few Region 4 DVDs. New Zealand and Mexico share a region for some weird reason. So I have a cheap laptop that I've changed to Region 4 and play my DVDs through that. Oh, that's so smart. If you don't have a spare, grab a cheap used one with a DVD player. As far as streaming British TV goes, the BBC iPlayer and Channel 4 On Demand are difficult because, as far as I can tell, you need to create an account with a credit card with a UK billing address. However, you can still watch streaming live TV without an account, but you do need a VPN. I use Surfshark as it's only $30 per year, but many decent VPNs work. The primetime shows in the UK are on between noon and 3 p.m. our time, so it's perfect if you work from home or on days off. Hope this is useful. John the Kiwi. Well, that was just a wealth of information. Thank you, John the Kiwi. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, this is from Christine. Hello, all. I'm just here to weigh in on all the hot dog talk. A friend works at a local food pantry. They are part of a program where someone, the government, is paying farmers to give their food to food pantries to distribute. Win-win for farmers and families. They're getting so many donations that they can't give it away fast enough, so she often drops off whatever will be thrown out if it isn't claimed. I live in Wisconsin, so it's a lot of dairy products. Now to the hot dogs. We've gotten so many hot dogs. We get them in packs of 24, and we've gone through several. I have 4 kids, age 6, 5, and 2-year-old twins, so they've been much appreciated in our house. We frequently cut them up to add to mac and cheese, but my favorite way is slicing them. sticking American cheese in and wrapping them in crescent rolls. This is kind of similar to what that other person was talking about, the texter, about wrapping them in pretzel dough. This idea was mentioned this week, and it seemed like you scoffed, Matt. It is by far the best way to eat them at home. Out in public, I would go for a Chicago-style dog, but alas, I don't remember what it means to be out in public anymore. Thanks, COVID. My favorite place to eat a hot dog is in the bleachers at Wrigley Field. The baseball reference brings me to the why does the food pantry have so many hot dogs to give away question. I think it's because of all the sports being canceled. Fans aren't filling up at stadiums and ballparks, so I'd bet that the nationwide hot dog quota was lower for 2020, thus resulting in unknown numbers of hot dogs ending up in food pantries. I would love to know your thoughts on the subject, and I encourage you to try wrapping a hot dog in some American cheese in a crescent roll. In fact, my six-year-old has taken over making them for us now. Christine, with four kids, one husband, one dog, and a house that feels too small during a Wisconsin winter, too many hot dogs to admit to. P.S. If Henry hasn't heard the hot dog song that is the theme for Mickey Mouse Playhouse, he may enjoy it. Wow. This podcast, we've gone off in some interesting directions over the years, but this hot dog thing, it has legs I was not expecting. I'll just put it that way. Christine, thank you. I can't guarantee that Matt will try this, but it kind of just sounds like a pig in a blanket with some cheese. Which, like, I don't know, it doesn't sound too bad. Am I crazy? I don't know. Okay. Going back to baby stuff, this is from Andrea. Hey guys, I was just listening to episode 310, came to the part with a newly pregnant listener who's finding herself anxious about her baby. Matt and Dory, you gave great advice. I agree with you that it is normal to feel that way. I did not go through fertility treatments to become pregnant with my daughter. Also, it was very much planned and wanted. Even so, once I was pregnant, I developed that same anxiety. For me, it was kind of like feeling slightly trapped into a situation I suddenly felt I was not prepared for. During that time, I sought counseling to help me work through those thoughts and feelings. I also agree that having a baby and raising a child is an ever-changing thing that you can never be fully prepared for. My daughter is now 12 years old, and we have had 12 years of not knowing what to expect with each new phase and of feeling like we have no idea what we're doing. The best advice that I can give is to know that the adjustment to motherhood is a big change and to be gentle with yourself. If it feels like a struggle at any point in your journey, please know it will be okay and you are not alone. It is a struggle for every parent, especially at the beginning. Congratulations. Best of luck to this listener. Andrea, New York, in 2,000 square feet, two adults, one 12-year-old daughter, one dog, one cat, zero hot dogs in 2021. Thank you. That is some good good advice. Thank you. All right. I am going to read an email about challah. Hello. Would Dory share her challah recipe? I'm always looking for a good challah recipe to try. This is from Julia in Austin, Texas, in 840 square feet with one husband, one 15-pound Chuckmeister cat, and currently zero hot dogs eaten in 2021. Household hot dog consumption of 2020 was around 30 total. Ooh, that's a healthy hot dog total. Shout out to Dog House, who has locations across the U.S., and they put their hot dogs in Hawaiian buns. Yum. Ooh, I think they have one in L.A. I feel like I've driven past it. I love a Hawaiian bun. Interesting. My favorite challah recipe actually comes from Smitten Kitchen. If you just Google Smitten Kitchen challah recipe, you will find it. I believe it's her only challah recipe. But yeah, that is the one that I've tried a few other ones. I keep coming back to that one. But once my book is done, I look forward to making challah again. All right. We're going to end with a voice memo about astronomy, Matt's new hobby. All right, here we go.
Hi, guys. After listening to the telescope portion of the pod, I thought you might appreciate another astronomy gear tip, which is to get a constellation app. It will tell you or allows you to point your phone at the sky and it tells you what you're seeing. So whether that is a constellation, star, planet, I'm currently using Starwalk 2 and really enjoying it, though I'm sure there are other great options out there. And one tool I think you would appreciate, especially given something Matt said in the last episode, was that you can search. So if you want to know where Venus is, you use the search function and it will point you towards Venus in the sky. So right now, Venus is in the low southeast sky for me, though it is daytime, so I can't see it. Anyway, this is Allison in North Carolina. Thanks for making the pod. And I've had 8 hot dogs in the last year because you guys kept talking about them, so I had to go buy a pack.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for that tip. Thank you all for listening to this highly unusual episode of Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I did not get Patreon names together for this week. We'll do extra next week. We really appreciate you. Thank you to everyone who has sent well wishes and thoughts, and very much appreciated. And stay safe out there. All right. Bye, everyone.